Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
All right, so guys, we're back together, and but we're not in the cafe. So I missed that. That we'll be looking forward to that. But this enables us to do the live stream for our brothers that can't be with us in person. So there it is. We're happy to do that if that's what it takes to connect with those brothers. But it's so good to see you guys. We do have, Dave set it up for us, some coffee and snacks. So if you didn't already know, you're welcome to bring them in to the sanctuary. Vic's going to lead us in worship in a few minutes, but we need to go to prayer. Got some standard requests, and I don't, that's not belittling them, but just to say there's some requests that we have prayed together for often and continuously, because the need is continuous, and you'll recognize those as we pray. But one of which just came to light today, a sweet, sweet, saint here, Bree, is her name, and she's been helping out in the kids ministry, working with my wife for years, and started in just working in the young kids, and then helping in all different times during the week. And she had a biopsy recently, and the report came back today that she has breast cancer, and I don't know how old, she's 20 something, so a real shock. So we want to lift up Bree. So if you want, who's Bree? What are we praying? I don't know who Bree is. So that's who we're praying for. So anything else? You guys got anything? David? Yeah, Dan Gleason for sure. Yeah. Drew and the crew. Yeah, we haven't prayed for them for a while. Carlos, Drew, and the crew. Thank you. You think I would have had that in my head by now. So Ed. Okay. I can remember those. Anything else? Any requests? All right. Well, let's pray, and then we'll get to some worship. All right. Father, Lord, just as the psalmist said, it's good when the brethren dwell together, hang out together. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, thanks for the blessing of getting to see some of my brothers, regulars, and my new brother Rick. Here tonight joining us, and our brothers that are watching online. Father, I do pray for your gracious blessing upon them. Lord, none of us would ever seek you to give us what we've deserved or what we've earned or thought we earned. Lord, we seek your grace. And Lord, so thankful that there's no limit on it. Lord, it's not a supply that runs out. Because our need never seems to run out, Father. So thank you for that. And Lord, I just want to not only thank you for the time with my brothers, but just the blessing of our prayer time together as we always kick off our time after we get situated and get our coffee and such, and just go right to prayer. And so Lord, needs that we've been made aware of, some we don't, and Lord, it's never because we don't care about those other needs, we just haven't heard about them. So Lord, we'll bring to you the ones that have been brought to me, and Bree being one of them, and asking you, Lord, to heal her. Lord, we always are bummed when we hear of somebody getting cancer, or one of the sisters getting breast cancer, but such a young girl, faithful servant. And again, Lord, not saying that she doesn't deserve that, Lord, but just asking you for grace and mercy on Bree, Father. Our brother Dan as well, Lord, faithful servant, faithful brother, 20-some-odd years here at Refuge, and Lord, we pray for grace, mercy on that body, Lord, and all that he's dealing with the result of the brain surgery and the follow-up treatment and the effects and all, and it's in some ways, even for a mature, godly family, I'm sure just kind of a scary road, Lord. So we pray for peace and for healing for our brother Dan. Lord, we pray for Carlos and Drew and that crew of friends that probably don't realize what a friend they have in David Ortega that is lifting them up in prayer to you all the time, Lord, for their salvation. Lord, we look so forward to the day when their eyes finally are fully open and they fully embrace your Son, Lord. So, God, bring that day soon, we pray. And Father, for those that serve our country, I know Brian would be lifting them up, for our president on down the line. Lord, the president himself, his cabinet, his team, Lord, lifting up first those that are yours, followers of your Son Jesus. Lord, he's got some of them on the team. And Lord, help them to be men and women of integrity with wisdom from above that they would bring to the table to help sort through all kinds of stuff, Lord. And this COVID-19 is just one of 100 things he's got to deal with, Lord. So give them wisdom, Lord, to be part of that support team that they've been called to be. Use them as a light too, Lord. They work in a dark place and have just a unique opportunity. So, Father, shine through them, we pray. And then, Lord, on down the line, as we get to our own state here in California, our governor needs wisdom from you. And, Lord, everyone needs that. Not everyone realizes they need it from you, but everyone needs it. He needs your wisdom. And so, Lord, we pray for that as well as he does his job as the executive of our state. Father, we thank you too as it relates to COVID-19 for just sparing us of what could have been more. So, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. We don't look to praising reports that were not accurate, but just thanking you, Lord, for numbers being low. And Father, we pray for just a quick reopening, not just for churches, but Lord, we pray for that and thank you for this small step tonight. And this coming weekend as well, but Lord, bigger steps, especially for some of our brothers and sisters of big churches that are being told that their 2,000-seat sanctuary can now hold 100. So Lord, we pray for breakthrough there and for businesses. God, thank you for getting some more of our family back to work, hair salons and such, but others still not able to, Lord. So please bring about that quickly so that they can provide in a safe, healthy way, Father. Lord, we pray for the men and women, Lord, that have served us, veterans, their families, Lord, who I guess indirectly really have served us. Lord, asking you to minister to them the hope that's in Jesus. Lord, especially those that are dealing with stuff that I don't think, I'm not aware of any of us having to deal with, the heavy bouts of PTSD, and so, Lord, praying for just healing there. And then, Lord, active, Father, knowing there's some from Refuge that are deployed right now. Lord, we ask you to keep them safe. Lord, we ask you to shine through them. Father, we ask you to provide for them, especially those that are reserves and take a big dip in pay to serve us, and then their families are kind of strapped because of it, and it's out of service for us, Lord. So please bless them, especially our Refuge family members that fit into that category, God. Lord, all of my brothers here, I'm sure myself included, have our own specific areas that we bring to you in our own personal lives. And Father, I just pray you'd remind them. Thanks for reminding me that you care about that stuff and that you hear and that you're moving and you're doing stuff behind the scenes, even when we don't see it, Lord. So we rest in that. We rest in your faithfulness and your goodness and your grace. Lord, we're prompted because of it even to sing to you now, to bless you with our song, Lord. So please receive this as a small gift, but a gift by design from you that we can give to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So, Lord, that's good. Thank you, Lord, for making sure that I didn't forget that, because I did. Daniel, our brother, Lord, we love him. And you love him so much you sent your Son to die for him. And Father, thanks for answered prayer today. Good consult with the presiding physician, and now the specialist is in the picture. God, we pray that you would just use that specialist to take care of what needs to be taken care of our brother Daniel in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, hey, real quickly, for the weekend services, We have to do the registration still. So we have, it probably has been updated, but if it hasn't been, it's showing 100, but actually that's 100 seats in the sanctuary that we can use. About 30 between the overflow and the cafe, plus the courtyard, plus the grass. So we're figuring out a way how we can do that in the registration so that that 130th person doesn't say, well, how come I'm not in the sanctuary? I pre-registered. And that system we're using only allows us as one form of registration. So anyway, if you talk to people, we've got room for more than 100. It's just 100 in the sanctuary. And then 30 between overflow and cafe, and then courtyard outside the building isn't subject to those numbers. Still subject to social distancing, not subject to the numbers, the limited numbers of 100. So the grass area, courtyard, and also, anyway, we'll be able to accommodate a lot more than 100. So still got to pre-register. Sorry about that. Just it's the only way to really do it effectively. What else? I think that's really about it. We are in Galatians. So we're picking up in chapter 3. Todd's going to take us through the second half of chapter 3 tonight in Galatians. So, yeah, if you got a Bible, I'd use it.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, all right,
yes. We're good. So, I miss you guys.
Yeah.
Straight up. And we're missing some brothers here, but hopefully I'm sure they're joining us online. But man, I really did. I missed you guys. I can't believe it. I actually miss you. Oh, it's rough. Yeah, I know. You guys feel the same way. Come on now. But no, seriously, it's been an interesting time, hasn't it? To think like that this would have ever happened is just mind blowing. But God's been with us through it all, and I like what everybody's been saying. I've been hearing that the perspective that I personally really wasn't contemplating, to be honest, that maybe the reason it hasn't been so bad is because God has spared us. And so, yeah, got to give him praise for that. So, but tonight, as Alan said, we're going to continue in Galatians chapter 3. Alan dropped us off, or dropped me off here at verse 15. And what's been going on here is this idea that Paul's addressing here with the church in Galatians is that the gospel was an addition to the law, and that you first had to become a Jew by following the law and then receive the gospel. And so that's really what he's contesting, rather than the fact that the promise came first and followed by the law, that in reality pointed to the promise and proves upon a honest self-assessment the necessity of it, that promise being Jesus, and Jesus being our champion of justice, as Alan put it, and such the completion of the law. And it's a lot there, and it's confusing to read it. I'm guessing it's a little bit confusing to hear it as well, but we're gonna get into it, and hopefully it won't be so confusing by the time we're done. I want to find my place in my miniature Bible. You know, I can't make things easy on myself. I gotta make it hard. So, yeah, you know, yeah, that eyesight that I used to have. There we are, chapter 3. So, as we read through Galatians, the apostle is going to give us some good explanations for what I just shared with you, and I'm going to share a few of my own observations along the way as well. But we're going to learn is that though the law has a purpose, it was not and is not a way to salvation, and nothing further, no work, no good deeds are required or can be added to perfect and complete the work of the cross where our King conquered sin and death. Amen. 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 So, let me read first from the New King James. Brethren, chapter 3, verse 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ, and this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. I want to read the NIV 15 through 18 as well, because I actually like this translation. Help me a little bit unpack this one. It says, brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this: the law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Verse 15, what it's saying here is Paul is making a comparison between a contract, as in, you know, man's kind of contract, right? Or more specifically, in this case, a testament of a man versus that of God. So, and when I say testament, we're really talking about kind of the concept of a last will and testament. That's the comparison really being made. So it's when my grandfather passed away, it's been a little over a year now, but when he passed away, he left a last will and testament. And it was that basically his possessions were to be divided evenly amongst my dad and his siblings. And no one can contest that now, right? No one after the fact can say, oh no, he didn't mean to say that. It should all go to me, or it should all go to her. It doesn't work that way, right? It's a last will and testament. It's a done deal. It's a one-sided deal. That person says, this is how it is, and that's how it is. And so how much more is the Lord's testament to man, or the Lord's testament to us? Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? So God on this has spoken. It is in his word. It's written down for all of us to see. It's a done deal, and he cannot be changed or added to. They therefore could not say, in order to be a Christian, you must believe by being Jewish alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, right? It's we know it's by grace alone, unmerited favor from God through the receiving faith of Jesus, period. That's what Paul's pointing to here. Verse 16, he points out this singular context of the word seed. This singular context, this word in the original language, it was a singular context, and in the Abrahamic covenant, and it was there to point to Jesus. And I just one little tidbit on that, something that I found really cool and interesting is how God's word constantly points to Jesus, even in just one single word. I just think that's really cool. So, verse 17, he goes on and he smartly points out that the promise came first 4.5 centuries earlier, and therefore, chronologically, the promise or gospel as we know it can't be in addition to the Mosaic law that came after, right? To give you guys kind of a silly example of that, right? What comes before lunch? Breakfast, right? And if we put the two together, what do we have? Brunch, right? We don't have linner or leftist, or that doesn't even sound good, does it? I don't want to eat any of that. So, yes, chronologically, first came the promise, then came the law. So, good point, Paul. Thanks for that. Not you, Paul, but the other Paul. But good to see you, Paul. Verse 18, Paul uses the word inheritance to describe the promise. Again, expanding on that concept from verse 15, an inheritance passed down from one person to another. It's a one-sided deal. God's promise to Abraham was unconditional. If works or conditions are added as a requirement, it's no longer a promise. God does not contradict himself. Again, right? God gave it to Abraham by promise, and therefore, it's a promise. It's not to be added to. It's not something that we can say, okay, well, you're doing really good, but I need you to, you know, do this in order to get it. It's God said, no, I'm going to give this to you because I love you, and that's it. And by faith, you believed, and so I'm giving this promise to you. Abraham believed. It was given, and there's nothing more that Abraham had to do to get it, and there's certainly nothing more that we have to do to get it. Again, I'll read from the New King James, moving on, and then I'll recap the NIV. But what purpose, then, does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for only one, but God is one. Verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. Verse 22, but the scripture has confirmed all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Again, next translation. Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party. But God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised being given through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So then, guys, what is the purpose of the law? The law had then and has now several purposes, some given here and others that I'd like to point out. Excuse me. I think something that's not pointed out here that I would like to share on is, of course, there's a civil purpose to the law, right? A lot of our laws are derived from the Mosaic Law, right? These laws hopefully restrain us from doing these things, and, you know, i.e. easy examples, murder and theft, right? But historically also, and this one I think is really cool, the Mosaic Law, or it distinguished the Jewish people and the nation from all other nations. And it has given them their cultural identity. And this identity has lasted through the centuries, enabling and leading to the modern day resettlement and the continued fulfillment of Scripture. That's pretty cool. These people, they never lost their identity or were assimilated into other cultures, even though they were exiled from the land. How many times, guys? Two times, right? Am I right on that, Alan? It's two times, right?
Yeah, if you're talking about the Assyrian captivity. Yep. Babylon,
yeah. Yep. Okay. So even though they were exiled twice, and yet they never lost their identity, and I think it's because of the Mosaic Law. That's what set them apart. As Christians, we're to be set apart, but not in the letter of the law, in the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law. Jesus talked a lot about the spirit of the law, didn't he? You know, and the reason we're able to act that out in our lives is because of the spirit of the King, the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, right? I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Spiritual purpose of the law, then and now, the Mosaic Law. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law, rather than through the law we become conscious of our sins, Romans 3:20. We can't even live up to our own standards, let alone God's standards, right? If I was to set a standard and say, oh, you know, good people do X, Y, Z, I couldn't even live up to that. And that's got nothing to do with the Mosaic Law, God's standards, right? So it really does point out our shortcomings spiritually. And that's a big deal, because it's through that realization of our weakness that that humility is born, and just an understanding of our need for a Savior. So that's huge. The spiritual purpose of the law, I think, is the real big purpose of the law. That's the part that Paul's expounding on. That's the part that he's trying to drive home to these guys. Like, you got it backwards, you know. It's to point you to Jesus, not to, you know, make you live up to X, Y, Z that you think, you know, then puts you in the club, right? Earlier I'd said that God doesn't change his mind. I said, well, he doesn't contradict himself either. That's something politicians do. That's something maybe I do, right? I'm sure I do it and don't even realize I'm doing it. But not God. He doesn't do that. And there's a section in here that I just read. Verse 19, I'm going to read it to you. It's one that I wanted to jump over, but I couldn't because it was there, so I couldn't pass it up. So I'm going to talk about it for a minute. It says, the law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. This is one of those tricky scriptures that trips up a lot of people, right? Because if you go to the account in Exodus, you don't see that. So why is it not a contradiction? I'm going to give you guys five reasons. One, the account in Exodus certainly does not expel the possibility of angels being there in that process of the law being inscribed onto tablets, right? So the possibility exists. The Old Testament is full of examples of angels acting on behalf of God's orders, right? So it's not like it's a one-off thing that is just being thrown out here. Three, there's a thing called newly revealed information, right? It's the thing that makes us keep turning the page, right? You want to get to the next chapter and so on. Keeps you coming back for more. And it's one of the reasons we should take the whole counsel of God, right? Because we got to read it all to get the full context of it. And God's good like that, man. I can read the same scripture over and over again and get something new every time, let alone the next page, right? So, or the next book, so on and so forth. Number four, the Holy Spirit enabled these guys, certainly, Paul as well, the other apostles as well, to do some pretty amazing things, right? I mean, some big miracles happened. And their writings were, 100, right? Spirit influence, right? Had to be. Right? Or they wouldn't be in this book, number one. But clearly, spirit influence. They're just perfect. And number five, this was one account of three accounts in the New Testament that refers to this the same way, that it was done by angels. And my favorite one of those was the account that Stephen gave right before he got stoned, right? Powerful. We read that back in Acts. I think I taught on that, actually. I got the privilege to do that. But clearly, he was in a spirit-filled, like, moment in time, powerfully, so powerfully that I think the Apostle Paul, for, you know, the rest of his ministry, was so impacted by that, that in a lot of ways, he followed that suit, where he would go through the whole history of the Jewish people, especially when trying to, you know, get to other Jews, right? So he used that way. But here's what Stephen said. He said, in verse 53 of Acts chapter 7, he said, you have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it. So again, that's just one of three references. So again, keep turning the page, right? Keep getting the whole counsel of God. So I have zero reason to not believe it, and you shouldn't either. So that's that. I'm done with it. I address it. We're moving on. Woo, yeah, exactly. All right, so verses 23 through 25, let me find them in my miniature scripture here. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith, which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. And again, next translation, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So again, the most important point of the law was to point us to the need of our Savior. My tendency is self-righteousness, guys, and that's the honest truth, you know. I can say through this process of lockups and so on, you know, I just even tonight, Lord, revealing to me the fact that, you know, I just so badly wanted to blame the experts, right? And I didn't even think a minute to give God any credit for that. So that's kind of self-righteous, right? And I certainly would say my wife could come up with a few more examples, Gina. And so we have that tendency to be self-righteous. I know I do. And so left to my own devices, I will justify my sins, man. And the law puts that in check. And without Christ, that just leaves me in straight despair. There's a point in this whole thing, this isn't down here, but I'm going to say it, when I think we're on lockdown for 3 weeks at this point, and my business was still running. I was one of the lucky ones, right? Because we had jobs in progress and we had to get them done. But you know, my guys are freaked out. I'm kind of numb, you know, so I'm just going. My wife's freaked out. I mean, I go to the grocery store, I come home, I got to strip down, take a shower, and you know, that's how it was, you know, because everybody's trying to be diligent. But I'm doing that and I'm trying to keep my business going. And I got jobs in progress. Customers are stressed. They need their stuff done. And at the same time, I've got jobs that were supposed to start going that are not going anymore. Right. And so I'm like, this is heavy. And it wasn't, I was having a conversation with a friend. I think it was like 11 o'clock at night. It's him and I think we're both just kind of on that adrenaline. He's in a similar business in a different area, but we were both on that adrenaline. I realized, man, I had been riding on my own adrenaline and I just came crashing down, man. And that was the first time when I prayed and I was like, God, help me, you know? And I think that was the first night I slept good. So, you know, we can try a lot to do things on our own. I know I was, and we shouldn't do that, you know? And certainly, we certainly shouldn't try to make it to heaven on our own, right? So the law, man, it points to despair if you're trying to do it by yourself. But if you let it point to Jesus, the law's a pretty awesome thing, you know, because it really does. I mean, Jesus was not the ender of the law. He was the fulfillment of the law. So in Christ Jesus, you know, hold on, I'm gonna share one more story. When I was a young man in my teens, I'd given my life to Jesus, right? But I was young and immature, and before you know, I was in kind of a backslidden state, and I was being convicted by the Spirit of God, but you know, I was off the path, and I knew I was off the path. And after a while, I felt like I couldn't get myself back on the path. And I felt like, man, I got to get myself back on the path in order to be able to, again, be in God's grace and so on and so forth. And I had that legal mindset. I let it sweep in. I let it take over. And that was despair, man. And I was missing this part here that Paul so perfectly. And I'm just going to read the translation I have here. It says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." I forgot, I guess, that I was a child by faith, right? Not by works, but by faith. And so now more than ever, and forevermore, when God looks at me, he doesn't see me anymore. Well, he sees me. It's not that my sin disappears, but he doesn't see the sin anymore. He sees his son Jesus, right? Because we've clothed ourselves. That sin still exists. We all blow it. I blow it constantly, several times today probably. But it's covered now. It's covered by Jesus. And you know, Jesus took us from the letter of the law to the spirit of the law. He was the embodiment of the law. He lived this perfect life. He never sinned. And then he willingly became the perfect sacrifice, right? Which really is the fulfillment of the law, because the law pointed to sacrifice. It was the only way to make yourself right when you blew it, right? Because, and I mean, I don't know if you guys ever asked yourself this, but I mean, how is that machine not running constantly, right? I'd run out of livestock like the first week. I mean, I don't care how rich you are, how many sheep you got, right? I'm done, right? Bankrupt, like instantly. So I always wondered that, like, how did they say, oh, I'm good now for a month or however long it was, right? I mean, it's a daily thing that we blow it. I can't make it through one day. So that's always been kind of laughable to me, and I felt bad for the sheep, really. But, and I hunt too, so what's that say about me? But, very conflicted man. But it does taste good. But anyways, I digress. but anyways, this idea that the law can save you, I don't know how anybody ever got into that. But then again, we do it too, right? I did it when I was a young guy, right? I wasn't thinking Mosaic Law or whatever, right? Law of Moses. But that's exactly what it was. I was thinking, oh man, I got to be good enough before I can come back for the Lord again. Even though when I had accepted the first time, I was a total wreck. So I don't, you know. But we get caught up in that so easily. And I know I do. I mean, thank God through this process, this whole time that we've been in, as many times as I've blown it, like maybe I'm just a little more mature now. I don't know, but God's grace, like, but I just know, like, I'm his kid, you know? And so if I'm his, then I can't lose that. We can't lose that. But maybe there's other people out there that are listening online. Maybe you guys have had some of those same feelings. And so at some point, I'm going to pray for that. And if you're thinking that and you're feeling that way, I want you to pray with me. But I want to just really quick go a little further about this, and that is that while Jesus did not come to abolish law, but to fulfill it, and while Jesus was the perfect example and living embodiment of the law, he was also the spirit of the law, as I said before. And one of those things he said, right, was don't just love your neighbor, but love your enemy. And I mean, to me, that's one of those scriptures where I read that and I go, man, if there's anything in here that points to a need for the Spirit of God, I mean, you can't do that on your own. I mean, I have good neighbors, but I don't always love them, you know? So my goodness, my enemies, you know? Now, fortunately, I don't have a lot of enemies, but I can only imagine, you know? I mean, through this, again, this experience, there's been plenty of people I've been hating on, you know? And that's to be frank, you know? Frank's not here, is he? Okay, good. But yeah, to be honest, that's the truth. So again, we can't do any of that without Jesus. We have to go back to Jesus, that that's where our strength lies. That's where it's always going to come from. And that to me is the purpose of the law and the promise. We're never the same. That's the reason why they were never the same, because the law pointed to Jesus. Jesus was the spirit of the law. So they can't be the same. One points to the other. And I don't know. I, for one, am just so thankful that through this little study here, that he just, again, pointed me back to himself and said, Todd, man, you got to just rely on me, you know? And he reminded me of that night, you know, tonight as I'm sitting up here, where I just hit the wall and finally prayed, you know? And he said, yeah, I'm right here, buddy, you know? And hey, how about you have a nice good sleep tonight and wake up refreshed tomorrow? And that was pretty good. So anyways, again, I said I was going to pray. If you're online, I want you to pray with me. If you're feeling like you need to get right with God, I'm going to tell you right now, the only thing you got to do is just turn back to Jesus. There's nothing else you got to do. There's no hoops to jump through. In fact, you can make up your own, just whatever's in your heart, just give it to him. And if there's somebody, because we're online, I want to say this too. If there's somebody that does not yet know the Lord, and you want that, you want to know that your sins are forgiven, you want to have the promise of forever, and more importantly, you want to have the abundant life now, because that's what's promised here. That doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. It's been hard, but you're going to have the Spirit of God living inside of you. That's amazing. If you want that, I'm going to pray, and you just pray along. Bow your heads, guys. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for the gathering of the brethren. Oh, I missed it, God. It's so good to be with these guys, and I see more of them growing beards, which is, just makes me even happier. Just makes me feel good, Lord. But again, God, if any of these guys in this room or anybody that's joining us online has been struggling through this time, Lord, and feeling like they had to do it on their own, and they haven't yet just cried out to you, I pray they would. If there's anyone that has just felt like, man, I got to get right before I come back to the Lord, I would just say to them, again, Lord, just pray, God, that you would just impress on their heart right now, it's forgiven. You're my kid. I love you. It's done, right? It's finished. It's the work of the cross. It's finished. You said it when you were up there. You said, it is finished, and it's done. And so now, God, I just want to pray for those that have not yet realized that or taken that on, and they would just right now say, Lord Jesus, I just ask that, and I thank you, and I ask that you would just come into my life. You say that if I knock at the door and you open, I will come in. Lord, I am opening the door. Come on in. Lord, take up residence in me. Direct my life. Give me that abundant life, God, in you, to commingle with you forever, Lord, to have your Spirit live inside of me. Father, help me to know what the spirit of the law is, God, and to have the Holy Spirit to guide me, God. I thank you now for giving me that. And I say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, guys, I've missed you. Alan said something hilarious this weekend. He said, it's so good to see half your faces. And it really is. It's really good to see you guys. So that's all we got tonight. God bless you guys.
Thanks, Todd. Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.